Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your host and game master. This week, we're continuing our sleepaway adventure, and tomorrow, we are launching the Kickstarter for the Skyjack soundtrack album, Skyjack's Call of the Sky. If you haven't already, please sign up for our mailing list over at bit.ly/skyjackscrew, or head to our preview page at bit.ly/callofthesky.ks to get notified as soon as the project goes live. Now, with all of that out of the way, let's get to the show.
Okay, I definitely thought that was a loon until now. little girl, come back, please.
Crashing out of the, down from the bank, you see Soph. She's wearing pajamas. And what the fuck are you doing out there? It's the middle of the night. Why are you yelling?
Soph, there was a little girl. She was lost. I was trying to help her get back to her campsite.
There's no little girl
here. No, she's in the water. You need to go find her.
Are you fucking with me right
no,
now?
No, I'm not fucking you with right now.
Which one was she?
She didn't tell me her name.
You don't know their names yet?
It's the first night. I know that some of you guys have like
a
pneumonia.
We did a name circle. Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
You hear the whistle again from the lake. You can't see the little girl anymore, but the sound is getting more and more insistent and it seems closer
is
than
that
ever
her?
Before.
I don't know that. Now, she walked toward that sound, so maybe if you go toward that sound, you'll find her. Look, I do it myself, but I am not a super strong swimmer.
Yes, I'm aware. charges out into the lake. They start swimming a strong breaststroke into the misty lake.
This time, in addition to the sound, you actually hear a voice, and it sounds like it's calling out your name.
Yeah, who's out there? Who is it? She's like swimming. Just keep calling. I'll come get you.
I think it like the calling continues and gets more and more urgent and loud.
Oh, can she get a token from me asking for her help to stay afloat?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm gonna take action, leaving myself vulnerable. That's a regular move for me. And I'm gonna swim strongly out in the direction of the voice.
You can't quite tell. It sounds like a voice, but it's also, if you listen to it in a slightly different way, it would just, again, it would sound like a loon. You can't really tell. It might just be a bird, but then maybe it's a whistle, but then maybe it's a voice.
Curse me for choosing a name that is easy to shout and sounds like a bird call. Yeah, I swim out. Is someone controlling the lake? I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm the lake.
Okay.
Do you want to, like, what's your plan?
Soph keeps swimming, looking for this girl, trying to get closer and closer to the voice, trying to find anyone. She calls back to Mike. Are you sure there's someone out here?
There was a little
I
girl.
Don't
she
see
walked.
Anyone.
I am positive I saw.
What was she wearing?
She was a nightgown, I think. And didn't look that close.
At this point, the fog has become so thick over the surface of the lake that you two can't even see each other. You're far enough out into the lake that
you can just
all
barely
you see
hear each other.
Mm-hmm. Is the white mist covering everything. But you think you see a figure, but it can't be a figure because it looks like they're standing on the surface of the lake.
Unless I must have gotten turned around.
You must have. Maybe it's
or
Mike.
Maybe it's the dock.
Maybe it's someone on the dock.
Mm-hmm. Just to be careful, just to be sure, I swim up to it. My hand's reaching out to grab the edge of the dock.
There's no dock. You're not sure at this point where the shore is or where the dock is. The figure that you saw, it seems to be the same distance away that it was before.
I'm going to use a regular move, which is illustrate the power of a song. And from outside of the mist, by the actual dock, right in the field with the bunks, Robin David Ash is going to start playing his guitar for Mike and Soph to hear.
This is like 2 a.m.
It's very obnoxious.
I mean, yeah, I feel like all the counselors are like, they're ready. So like they're like, I gotta play a song.
So another question, like we're not supposed to roleplay the Lindworm in any way, but like and we our characters can't die or anything, right? Like what?
Oh, they can die.
We can die.
Absolutely die. If you die, you can either come in as another character or really decide to play the setting elements super hard.
Cool.
So
like what happens like when it reaches the logical conclusion of something? Like the Lindworm is the only antagonist or like
so if like the Lindworm is in the scene, we won't role play as the Lindworm, meaning we are not going to speak with the Lindworm's voice. We decide together what the Lindworm does.
Because I'm playing the lake right now, but I don't want to like get to a point where it's like
yeah. Well, I think what we just have is Brennan is making a move that will allow us to pull Soph back if Molly wants Soph
to
get pulled
back.
I'm
just wondering like if it is like something where it's like
it's a very negotiable thing. Okay. Like we all sort of decide like, you know, if we were in the position like, oh yeah, Soph should totally die right now. We could all decide like, oh yeah, Soph is going to die and this is how we'll play out
it's
that
a little
death.
Early.
Yeah.
But this is the first night.
But all Soph. Yeah.
Soph, I don't know if you can hear it. Robin David Ash is playing a really nice song.
Robin
so maybe
David
swim,
Ash,
swim,
what the
swim
hell?
Toward either that or the sound of my voice.
Let's let Brennan narrate this song a little bit.
It is 2 o'clock in the morning, so it is the lightest, most lullaby-esque, soft guitar picking from the dock. I don't think it would be. It would be audible over like the box fans blowing in the bunks, but over the mist of the lake, it is audible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the magic right now, and I think even though you can barely hear Mike's voice as you've gone so far out into the lake, the sound of the guitar twanging over the lake is crystal clear. It cuts through the fog like a knife.
Soph hears it. Soph starts to sort of do like a backstroke, because that's like the easiest swimming position back to the dock. They have gotten out really far, and they are a little bit scared because they've gotten a lot more tired than they thought, and they're not quite sure where to go. I think this counts as one of my weak moves, which is to botch a rescue in a potentially lethal way.
As you are getting closer to the shore, I think you see the figure again. The fog is sort of retreating after Robin David Ash's song, but you see the figure and it still looks the same, but you realize they're actually far above the surface of the water, and it seems like their legs stretch down and down and down much farther than a human's legs would be.
Ooh.
But then the fog dissipates and there isn't anything there.
Oh, so if you heard my voice, thank God you made it back.
Mike, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
I was trying to help a little girl find her bunk.
Why would you send me? There was no one out there.
There was a little girl. You didn't see anybody out there. You're telling me honestly you didn't see anybody
There's no
there.
One out there. You would be right. Panicking right now if there was a little girl out on the lake. There was no one out there.
I think it's good that Mike helped us figure out that there's a loon at the lake that sounds a lot like a
Thank
person.
You, Robin David Ash.
Robin David Ash.
I saw a little girl.
Jason's been harmonizing with you the whole time. Quietly.
In fact, she looked kind of like Melody.
A chill runs down everyone's spine.
Mike, I don't know what your game is, but I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of whatever you're doing right now. If you had a weird dream, just you're a staff member now, okay? So like you gotta keep it together.
I saw what I saw.
Robin David Ash looks over at Mike. Hey man, do you wanna talk about what you saw?
Yeah, I saw I was in my bunk. There was a little girl. She asked for a way finding her way back. It was the bunk all the way across the field. I tried to find it. I got lost somehow. And then she waded out into the lake. So I called the strongest swimmer I know, Soph, to come help her. And Soph wasn't able to find her. For all we know, she could still be out there.
Soph, you know how impossible it is to get lost on the path from the bunk to the lake.
Yes, I do. Are you going to tell this embarrassing story? to campers? This is an embarrassing Mike story. Are you gonna share that too to sort of humanize?
I don't think caring
about humanize him.
I'm gonna do one of my weak moves, which is be overcome by someone else's fear, anger, or grief. And Robin David Ash looks at you and is fully crying, but has not changed the shape of his mouth or face. It's just full tears and a blank face. And he says, I don't know what I did to make you dislike me this much, but I don't think I deserve it.
I've been pretty specific.
He's going to walk quickly into the woods and weep.
Into the woods.
And I'm going to take a token for doing my minor weak moves and also for doing Jason's lure.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Hey, can you get a token for doing your own lore?
No, not okay, for doing your own lore.
I have a question. On our character sheets, what are these ask in italics?
So these are, they can be metaphorical or explicit things that you're injecting into the story. Like the one that I did with Pea Blossom was my character looked into her eyes with a look that said, why don't you just fuck off?
Oh, okay. Mm.
I actually, when I do my weak move, I actually am going to ask for Soph, how has camp lost its magic for your character?
Oh. So do they count as a move or are they like an extra?
I think it's in addendum to my do one of these weak moves, I ask you is your character me or is your character Soph?
I like these are pretty ephemeral to based on situationally what we need from them.
Cool.
I think you can definitely pull one of these weak moves on yourself, mm-hmm. but you can also do it at people, I believe. Whatever.
I'm going to do this one at Soph.
Yeah, that hits. Mm-hmm. That attack lands on Soph. she like sort of looks, or they Soph sort of looks as Robin David Ash is walking away and looks at Mike, and it's just like, it's the first night. We can't have any drama.
I just
want one good summer.
I just thought you could help. I thought you would be the person, you know, when I felt like I was in danger, I thought you were the person who could help me the most.
You're not wrong.
Okay, some really cutting things have been said. I feel like this is a good place to pull this scene for the evening, which means I would like to do a scene that happens during the day. Mike, where are you when Sam notices you maybe going over the emotions that you felt last night?
I think I'm probably by the fire pit. It's the smoldering remains of the fire the night before. Sort of poking it with a stick.
Is this like early in the morning?
Yeah. I think sun's just starting to come up. I didn't really get a lot of sleep last night. Maybe didn't even go back to my bunk. If I did, I fitfully tossed and turned for a little bit and then went to the fire pit to sort of sit and watch the sunrise.
I think like getting out super early, sort of dressed in light running gear is Sam. Sam usually likes to go out to the field and take a couple laps before the day really starts and everybody gets called in for breakfast. She gets out and sees you over by the fire pit. Is not actually a super emotionally available person. So I think, God, let's see. I am going to intimidate someone with a sudden display of emotional intensity, which is, I like Mike. I'm trying to initiate some sort of conversation or interaction with Mike, but I'm just going to do it in a super inept way. I think you look like you're focusing really hard on the fire, and like I'll come up behind you and like push you as though you're going to go in, but I will catch you so that you don't fall in the embers of the fire. Because
no.
I think this is a super great idea.
Some anime bullshit.
Oh God, Sam. Hi.
Mike, what are you doing up?
I'm just, you know, I figured I wanted to make sure the fire was out. I'm fine. You don't need to worry about me. I'm fine.
Okay. Cool.
Be careful, okay? People could get hurt.
Yeah. Mike, you're fine. Whatever. You don't look super great though, actually, if I'm going to be honest, like
I didn't sleep well last night. It's fine.
Well, what do you mean you didn't sleep well last night?
There was a camper who I thought nothing. It's nothing. I had a weird dream.
Hey, Mike, like
think like the full-on intensity of Sam like hits you. She places an arm on your shoulder. Nothing is nothing. Not here.
I saw a little girl. She looked a little bit like Melody, but I didn't put that together at first. And she asked me to help her find her bunk. So I walked back with her, and then I guess I got lost or turned around, and then she disappeared into the lake.
Mike, what the fuck? We have to do a head count.
Soph and Robin David Ash said it was nothing. They said there was no little girl. They said that I didn't see anything.
Holy shit, they know better. Everyone in this situation should fucking know better. Why am I the only person who cares about this? Mike, that's what happens. Do you remember? Please tell me you remember.
I mean, I was just a counselor in training, so I was sort of on the periphery of...
Mike, that is exactly the sort of shit that happens. That is why we're here. That's why I'm here.
All right, yeah, because you see me as an equal, right? You see me as someone who can, like, sort of hold his own with you, and, like, together we can solve this problem?
I think there's, like, a little bit of fluttering in Sam's chest as they like smile, but also roll their eyes a little bit. No one's my equal, Mike.
Asking someone if I'm their equal is one of my weak moves. So.
Oh my God, that is such a weak move.
That's a good weak move.
This is the most perfect comedic character archetype. Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible.
All right, so yeah, let's go. Let's go do a head count. Let's do it.
Yeah.
At this point, Peace Blossom walks out, taking her morning invigorating stroll. She sees this interaction happening, rolls her eyes, and loudly groans, not trying to insert herself into the interaction, but also definitely hoping that they hear her.
Morning, P.
That is not my name, and you know it.
It used to be.
It's never been my name. What are you talking about?
I have called you that for literally years.
And you've always been wrong.
Okay.
You like Sa, just not your name? Just like the first part of your name, but not your name?
I could pull that off.
Sa? That's a bad name. I'll tell you, it's bad. You're like stupid. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Okay, we need to do a head count.
All right, you think I'm not on it? I'm always on it. I know where my campers are at all times. Okay, where are your campers?
Hey, P, I am
Don't
not-
Don't call me P.
P Blossom.
Peas Blossom, my God.
Peas Blossom.
It's a family name.
I am not making an accusation against you right now, okay? I'm not making an
accusation. What are you doing? What are you and Mike doing?
Please tell me that you remember. Confirm that for me before I continue this conversation.
Remember what? What are you talking?
The thing. Fucking Melody. What happened when we were fucking kids? Please tell me you remember, because
I remember, but we can't let that stop this summer from being a magical experience for our campers.
Yes, yes. The summer, magic, fun, cool. We are here.
A window slides open on a cabin, and Jason pokes his head out. Hey, y'all, some of us are, still trying to sleep.
Sorry, I was just Jason. On my way to sound the morning wake-up call when these clowns...
Can you please come to me? I need to talk to you, and I need Mike to be there.
Yeah, because I'm part of this.
Jason right. just climbs out of the window and walks over. Do y'all need to talk about this right now?
Yes, yes. Jason,
please, if you
please?
Could start waking up the campers, I was going to call the morning wake-up call, but... apparently Sam needs to talk to me.
Sam is like really trying to talk, but also let other people talk. And like, you can see her muscles like start to shake as she is like trying to keep it in. I need to have this conversation, and I need to have it now before everything goes down. It feels like I remember what happened when we were kids, right? You remember what happened?
Jason pulls one of his regular moves, which is he puts a hand on your shoulder and just nods silently and then walks away to wake up the kids, because my move is communicate with silence better than words can.
That's not better!
I always just feel like Jason understands.
So yeah, like, okay, Jason remembers, Mike remember, P-Blossom, Peace Blossom, you say you remember. I feel like everybody is acting like we don't know what can happen out here.
Look, I wouldn't have come back here if I didn't believe in the heart, in the spirit of this camp. We don't know what happened to Melody.
Peace Blossom, last night, Mike got lost between two cabins and walked down the path, and he ended up at the fucking lake.
Well, that was really stupid of
him. No, he's saying that in a spooky way, not in an I'm incompetent way.
Yeah. Well, that's impossible. Think about it for a second. Even for Mike or anyone, even the newest camper here, can't follow a path between cabins and go to the lake. That is not possible. Please, please confirm for me.
I know. We need to be stronger than this. We can't let the lake or the woods or the field get to us. We're supposed to protect these kids because this is going to be a magical summer. And that means we can't walk off to the lake. We can't get lost. We have to be here. We have to protect these kids.
I'm going to invite the Lindworm to act upon the group.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Windy.
Ooh. These are some dangerous guards.
Oh, no. It's early morning.
It is. The Lindworm does not like mornings. Mm-hmm.
Don't even talk to me till I've Lindwormed my coffee.
The Lindworm's such a Garfield.
So the six of clubs is confusion, mists pushing people against each other. One camper lashes out against another. Who? Why? The Jack. A camper was found dead, mouth stuffed full of wooden sticks and eyes gouged out. Remove a camper card from the corkboard. So the campers that we have fucking established for ourselves. And the king, a camper was found dead, skin peeled off.
Gravy.
Unrecognizable. Remove a camper card from the corkboard and replace it with a new camper. So, wow. We're all going to close our eyes right now and hum, and whoever got the Lindworm will knock when they're done.
God.
Oh my God, that was a knock. Oh no, someone is dead!
Is that the skinning or the mouth of sticks?
That's mouthful of sticks, baby.
So scary.
Oh, that's too many sticks.
So okay. Who was it? Who ended up?
So the campers that I have established for us, I put down Trey, who's right. The kid who talks like this, and he speaks and says what others won't. We also have Amelia, who leads people astray, and Sarah, who charges
into
danger.
I think it was
definitely
the girl who found the whistle, right?
Yeah, which
yeah,
was,
I think
Amelia.
It was Amelia.
Oh. Wait, I'm doing wake-ups,
hold
right?
on, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I think I'm going... Now, what is this? The Jack of Clubs means found dead, her mouth full of sticks,
yes.
Right?
Well, I will point out that when the Lindworm acts, we are allowed to make a strong move to reduce the impact of what the Lindworm has done.
I will be making a strong move to reinterpret the Lindworm's play, redirecting it with raw emotion. Mm. The way I choose to interpret this, let me know if this is not how the game is supposed to be played, is, was this Amelia or Sarah?
Amelia.
Amelia had a stick in her mouth because she had a seizure and she has to be sent home and she isn't allowed back at camp all summer because she's going to be diagnosed with epilepsy.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's better than the alternative.
That is better.
That's true.
That is better. Yeah, there's one thing that I do have to point out. Even when we reduce the Lindworm's action, if it says there is a death, something must die. So it doesn't have to be a camper.
No.
So,
no, don't you
so
dare.
Generally speaking, what the rule book says about the Lindworm is it kills animals before people, adults before children, and children last of all. So
okay, well,
we could lose Magnifico.
We haven't even interacted with Magnifico yet, so I don't think that this is the right time.
Do you think that maybe one of like the camp cooks was found? Probably just a heart attack while they were preparing.
And maybe
she
just was really hungry and there were some sticks nearby.
Oh, heart attack. They had a heart attack, but they fell onto some skewers.
She was getting ready for
so that happened.
Kebab
that happened. Night. That happened at the same time this girl was having a seizure, or
I think what? It did happen at exactly the same time, but no one knows that.
Yeah, there's no way to confirm that.
This is like kitchen staff stuff. Like, remember a member of the kitchen staff died.
Yeah,
which is like not we just run programming on the land. Like the kitchen staff,
but this
is different.
Particular kitchen staff employee has been here at the camp for 15 years.
Yes.
So worked here when Melody was a camper.
Yes.
Yeah. So we kind of just, as we're dealing with Amelia and calling the doctors, we see ambulances show up. We think at first, like,
it's our ambulance.
It's our ambulances. Like, wow, they got here so quickly. But then we see them go to the kitchen and we see a stretcher being brought out.
And one other detail I think about this kitchen staffer is that there is a whistle wrapped around their neck.
Oh my God.
So Amelia has gone home because of a seizure.
Soph walked up to, I think, Pease Possum. We both can see, and I think Mike, we both can see the stretcher. And Soph walks up and is just kind of tense and, so we think it's happening again, right?
It seems like it. Are you asking my opinion for real?
I was asking the group.
Okay.
Yeah, it's happening again. Okay.
Okay. Peace Blossom is going to use one of her strong moves. She's going to reinterpret the Lindworm's play in a way that protects the campers.
Hmm.
So, whatever just happened here. It's we're not going to let it ruin the summer for us. We're not going to let it stop our fun, the joy of being at camp. We are just going to have to be more vigilant. We're going to have to guard these campers day and night. We're going to have to stay up in shifts to make sure that nothing like this happens again. All right. So this was just... This was the one thing that the Lindworm did, and now it won't happen again. So
we can get them through this.
So if you believe me now, the last night I saw something.
Yeah, I guess.
And okay. We believe each other from now on. When we believe campers, when someone says some weird shit happened, we know some weird shit happened, right. And we know why.
Regardless of that camper or counselor's level of experience. Or competence, or previous times getting lost over very short distances. We believe everybody.
Can we say going forward that if a mysterious camper comes to you, then find someone else, maybe take a buddy?
I didn't know they were mysterious at the time. They just looked like a little girl who was vaguely resembled maybe an old a friend of mine that something horrible happened to.
I am going to do one of my weak moves, which is misinterpret someone's words or actions as an insult. and I just like turn to Pease Blossom and so sharply say, "Leave Mike alone, okay?"
Hey, I've got this. I got this, Sam. Don't.
What is your problem?
You have been picking on him and ignoring the real shit that has been going down, and now like God knows what could have happened last night.
Sam, it's okay. I can defend for myself.
What is your deal? Why are you? I'm just
because we could fucking die, or one of the kids could fucking die. That's what my deal
you
is.
You think I'm not trying to stop that? Everything I'm doing is to protect the campers. This should be a great summer for them, and we are not going to let this ruin it for them. They're going to love this.
It seems like you care more about the summer than people's lives.
We wouldn't be here.
Weak move. Get involved in a conflict on your business and try to mediate. Hey. I don't know what you guys need to do to work out whatever your specific shit is, but it should happen sooner rather than later.
Because well, right I think now, that we Sam to... should just go talk to Mike because that's all she wants to do. So,
Pease Blossom, you want to fuck Sam so bad that it's making you bad at your job.
What are you saying to me right now? I am protecting the campers. I don't care about anything. I don't care about Sam
at
all. Oh,
yeah, I'm interpreting that as an insult, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sam, like, first of all, blushes harder than, like, There are two times Sam's face gets this red, when caught in the throes of serious athletic competition and when anyone suggests that she wants to kiss the person who she knows is her fucking enemy, Peas Blossom. She turns to you and screams, "Shut the fuck up! That's so fucking gross!" And she runs off to go split wood and calm down.
There she goes again.
All right, I'm gonna go check in with the kids, and
while all this is happening, the children have all come out of the bunks.
Yes.
And Jason, not knowing how to handle children, has just let it happen, and they have seen everything.
One of my regular moves, guys. Do you think we should go somewhere else? Do you think we should take this?
And yeah. That was one of my weak moves, which is completely shut down.
Okay, you guys deal with us yourself.
Robin David Ash is going to look at Soph and say, Soph, somebody should talk to Sarah. I'm happy to do it, but I feel like it might be more meaningful if it was you.
Yeah, I'll check in with her.
Okay, good.
Well, heroes, that's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry. We'll be back next week with the conclusion to Sleepaway. In the meantime, if you're looking for other great gaming shows, check out one of the other shows here on the One Shot Network.
Like All My Fantasy Children. All My Fantasy Children is a character creation, world-building, and storytelling podcast powered by you. Each week, best friends Aaron Catano-Saez and Jeff Stormer take a listener-submitted prompt and, using some of their favorite tabletop RPGs, create an original fantasy character. Along the way, they populate a shared universe one story at a time. They share laughs, stories, and verbal hugs along the way.
As always, we end One Shot with a call to action. And heroes, this week I want to make sure that you are A, registered to vote, and B, doing everything you can to support Black Lives Matter protesters. Heroes, if you're anything like me, the world seems incredibly awful. It's difficult to wake up every day and read the news, and you worry about the future constantly. Thankfully, there is something that we can do about it. The first is voting. Voting is not going to fix these issues, but we can mitigate the harm that vulnerable people are experiencing. We owe it to ourselves and everyone suffering to do everything we can to prevent further harm from happening. And partially that means making sure your voice is heard this November. Most states allow you to register online, and even if you've registered for previous elections, it's a good idea to make sure that your name is still on voter rolls. Many states are also doing mail-in ballots this year. However, the post office is having its resources taxed from within. So, in order to ensure that your mail-in ballot is counted, be sure to contact your local election board and see where you can drop off mail-in ballots. That way, you won't have to vote in person and wait on long lines and stand in enclosed areas. The other thing we can do to fight for a better world is protest, communicating your beliefs directly to the people who make decisions in a visible and unignorable way. There are a lot of changes that need to happen to our country in order to make it more equitable. That road is going to be long, with incremental victories and lots of setbacks. Keeping up constant pressure is a big part of how we're going to make those changes. Now, not everyone can go out and protest. However, we can support the people who do by donating to local bail funds and making sure they have the resources they need to protest safely. Contribute where you can and keep fighting. Thanks, heroes.
All right, kids. Let's all go to breakfast and let's get out of here. Come on.
What's I'm sorry, I was a little harsh last night. Twice. I'm a little bit on edge. Is there anything I can do?
You're so important to these kids, and I'm glad you're here.
While you guys are doing this, I'm walking with the campers trying to explain to them that we don't hate each other, and convincing them in the process that everybody hates each other, thereby trying to explain to the camper and getting it all wrong. So I'll take a token for that.
Let's see what camper you've done that to. Ooh, it is the Ace of Hearts, an energetic person who exceeds containment. So
Timothy.
Timothy is like just so fucking amped, got that undiagnosed ADHD, and like is amped in a way like, ooh, everybody's fighting.
No, Timothy, that's not what's happening. Look, there are some things you don't know about. Anyway, I think that can happen off camera.
Peace Blossom is going to use a weak move and act in a way that upsets and spoils the heart of the camp and talk to Timothy as well. So look around, Timothy, all these people that you think are your friends right now, in a few years, they're just going to totally be people that you can't even stand. So you know what? Enjoy your childhood while you can. Because it just all gets worse from
this
here.
This is the person who wants everyone to have a magical summer?
I don't know if I triggered your lure by asking for your help specifically. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take a token.
Yeah, you can take it. Oh, can I get one too?
Robin David Ash is going to do a call and response. He's going to do one of his regular moves and call out and wait for a response from all the campers that are waiting for breakfast. So he's going to go, Top Hat!
And then all the campers say, Gettysburg!
Top Hat!
This is a camp thing for us.
Got it.
All right, guys. So this morning, we're going to be doing, I know we said it was going to be a hot breakfast. It's going to be cold breakfast this morning.
There's a big groan.
It's all right, guys. We're going to get cereal and milk. Guys, if you can drink...
Did Amelia kill the kitchen worker, Evelyn?
Guys, Amelia did not kill
anybody. Did they get in a fight?
Everyone take a seat where you are. 3, 2, 1, sit.
With a little bit of reluctance, they do sit.
All right, quiet coyotes, right? Put up your quiet coyotes. Quiet Coyote's they got twice as many ears as mouths because he listens twice as much as he talks. Okay, guys, Amelia got sent home because we think that she might be struggling with epilepsy. She had a seizure last night, and it's not safe for her to be at camp right now. So her parents came and picked her up, or rather, their parents are meeting her at the hospital where they're going to take her home.
Is it contagious?
Are we going to catch epilepsy?
You guys are all... either in middle school or high school age, we need a better grasp of biology. Just top to bottom, you are not going to catch epilepsy.
I heard that you're not supposed to put anything in the mouth of someone who has epilepsy, but someone put a stick in her mouth, I heard.
Yeah, a camper got a wild idea and tried to help. Guys, don't jam stuff in each other's mouths. Just sort of whatever's happening, keep your stuff out of the other kids' mouths, okay?
Okay.
And also, guys, we just want you guys to all be safe. So that means please, you know, leave the almond milk for people that have a lactose allergy. Okay, that's not for everybody.
What if we like how it tastes better?
Candace, no, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You can't. That's what I mean, right? Obviously, you would drink the almond milk because you liked it more. That's the implied bad reason to have almond
milk. If I have cow's milk, my tongue swells up.
Yeah. Jeremy can't have cow's milk, so he's got to have almond milk.
Jeremy's another kid who talks exactly like that.
I have a nut allergy, so then my tongue would also swell up.
Right,
what
so you don't
then?
Drink almond milk, you drink regular milk, right?
But I don't like milk at all.
So you're going to eat dry cereal, I guess. If you don't like any kind of milk, do you want to... Tiffany, what do you do to solve this problem at home during the normal year?
Can I put orange juice on my cereal?
Yes, you can all put orange juice
Yay!
On your cereal.
I put orange juice on my cereal, too.
It's going to taste gross, and you're going to ruin a bunch of cereal. So just a heads up to you guys, okay?
Oh, my God. Tiffany, the Three of Spades, is cursed and followed by bad luck.
Tiff, I'm telling I really don't recommend that you do this.
Tiffany has an undiscovered orange allergy that she hasn't actually noticed yet. But she excitedly pours the orange juice into her Frosted Flakes.
5 minutes later.
No rules.
5 minutes later, Robin David Ash is over a swollen-headed Tiffany going, how have you never encountered orange juice before? How is this the first?
It's a good thing we have a nurse's cabin.
Hey, is this epilepsy?
Oh my God, it's spreading.
Oh no.
It is not spreading. Everyone relax. Everyone calm down.
Guys, we don't even know if it's epilepsy. I've said too much already.
Any adult saying I've said too much already. Perfect. Mm, delicious.
This is going to be a magical summer.
Jason has followed Sam out to the woods.
Yeah, Sam is at this place on the edge of the woods, where, like, I think log splitting is actually, like, kind of a class and activity. I think there is, like, a CrossFit elective that, like, Sam suggested and, like, pushed for and was like, oh, we can create resources for the camp while we work out. And so, like, there is this rhythmic thudding of an axe against logs on the ground. I think Sam cannot exactly split a log with one chop, but, like, that is her goal by the end of the summer, to be able to do that. So there's that initial thunk, and then another one as she raises the axe with the log still on it, which eventually, like, chops the wood.
I'm going to use one of my regular moves, which, again, I'm going to communicate with silence better than words, and I'm going to select a better piece of wood for you and place it down.
Sam, like, freezes up when someone is there and, like, sighs, then takes in a deep breath and cuts into the wood. Splits it, the wood, like, shoots out either side, and, like, turns around to face Jason, like, and she makes eye contact with him, and, like, just his presence is calming a little bit, and also, you know, I got some chance to, like, work through some of those feelings physically.
You gotta aim for the right grain. You fight against the grain, it's gonna be a lot harder.
Jason, I feel like I shouldn't be fighting anyone. I know it's been a long time. I thought we were all on the same page. I really did. I am going to make a strong move, which is reveal my true feelings. I'm not ready for this to happen again. This whole time, year after year since Melody, I have been coming back here trying to get stronger and stronger. And this thing can fucking lead people from the cabins to the lake. Like, no one's strong enough for that. And everybody is acting like, oh, we're just finding some really fucked up coincidences.
Well, I think if we don't start talking to each other, it's gonna be a lot harder. There's one of that thing. There's more of us.
Okay, can you be real with me? You told me last night that you had a feeling about something. What is that?
I'm gonna use one of my regular moves, which is ask the woods for advice.
Jason just turns towards the trees and stares.
Jason takes a moment. Here's a question. I know the woods is a place.
Mm-hmm.
Does someone want to play the woods and provide advice, or should I just make up?
Yeah, I think somebody who's not currently in this scene could play as the woods. That might make it easier. Where's the woods?
Who has the woods?
Setting.
I think you have the woods, Jason.
Now I am handing them to someone else. This is the longest conversation Jason has had in like 2 years.
So you're asking the woods a question.
Yeah, I'm asking the woods for advice in what was your exact?
I asked you, like, you said you felt something last night, because, like, you've been asking the woods for advice, and Sam, to peel back the curtain, is terrified of all this supernatural shit and she doesn't trust any of it.
I'm going to say that Jason had kind of let some of what he felt slip away, much in the same way that you kind of forget the details of a dream. And he's going to close his eyes and ask the woods for advice on remembering what it was that so unnerved me. And just wait for a vision of some kind.
I think one of the woods' moves is to express the woods' pain. So the vision that you sense is something dark and wounded at the center of the woods. Possibly it's a vision of the oldest tree in the woods, of just something that once strong gone rotten.
Oh, shit.
And that is, and then you feel something like your gut twists as you see this.
Ow. Shit. Okay. It's coming back. I think there's something funky deep in the woods, something at the heart of the woods. Yeah, remember that old tree, the one you said the kids was under.
Shit, yeah.
Something up with it.
As you guys are talking, Soph marches up to you guys. They're looking really determined, but also a little bit excited. And they walk over to the stump where you were chopping wood, and they slam down the whistle.
I think, like, something in Sam's chest, like, just drops seeing it. They would recognize that anywhere.
Sarah and Amelia brought this out of the woods last night. It's not dirty. It looks like it is. They didn't find it on the ground. I think Melody's alive. And I think we have to save her.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. We know that crazy shit is happening, so let's do something about it.
No, I agree. I just think it's taunting us. That's my take
on
it.
Well, I don't.
Well, I hope you're right.
So,
Mike said that he saw Melody. If it's using her face or something, she might be out there. She might be captured or something. So,
yeah,
let's do something about it. Okay.
Yeah.
No more freaking out. Okay, Sam, can you like get it together?
So, if I might need your help on this one, we were just talking about. I think there's something up with that tree in the woods.
Yeah.
That you're. Oh God, what was the name? What was it? Starts with an M.
Melody.
Can't quite place it. That. I think that there's something at the tree about it.
Yeah, that was the last place anyone saw her.
Yeah, the woods are real gut punched about that tree.
Okay, I don't know what to do with that. But I know that Sam has a weapon, and maybe we all could get together and just let's go chop the tree down. You got an axe? It's right there.
Oh, hell.
Let's chop down the tree.
I mean, if chopping down the tree is going to put an end to this, like, I'll do it in a second.
I just want to do something, you know?
I mean, so if I'm right there with you, okay? I want to do something. Jason, you're all up in the woods. Is that the play?
Jason is a little nervous about this, but, yep. I think so.
Right. At this point, a frisbee flies through the air and smacks into a tree next to you.
Oh, what the hell?
As Peace Blossom is leading the campers in a rousing game of frisbee golf in order to lighten the mood. So now suddenly campers are scampering about all around you. And Peace Blossom runs in just supervising.
Come on.
This is summer camp. We're playing frisbee golf. Mm-hmm. We're having a great time.
Near the axe?
Well, take the axe. Why do you have an axe? Jesus Christ.
For CrossFit. Log splitting.
All right. Well, we're playing frisbee golf. Would you like to join us? We're having fun. We're having a magical summer.
Okay. We got to run activities. So we'll put a pin in this for now. And Soph, Jason, I think this is a good play.
Why? What?
Somebody else, please tell Peace Blossom about it. Okay.
What's happening?
I'll fill you in.
I know that Robin David Ash had talked to Soph about talking to Sarah, but did Soph talk to Sarah already, you think, or no?
No, I think they got distracted.
I think Robin David Ash sees that Soph is distracted and would like to start a scene in the field with Sarah, the camper.
Sarah is heroic and charges towards danger.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Sarah.
Yeah.
I wanted to chat with you for a sec because I know that Amelia was a really close friend of yours at camp, and she got sent home this morning.
Yeah, she caught that epilepsy that's going around.
Do you really believe that?
Or I don't even know anymore.
You're just too deep in the bit.
Robin David Ash
really says that. It's like, I get it. No, bits get out of hand at camp.
I'm sorry. I'm joking because I'm totally freaked out.
It's okay. It's fine to be freaked out.
I'm not crying. It's just allergies here.
I totally get it. When Sarah says the allergies thing, which is a lie, I'm going to do a strong move, which is to help someone find their voice. Amelia might be more sick than we thought, and so she might not be coming back this summer.
Okay.
And you guys had a really strong connection.
Mm-hmm. We watched TikToks.
Yeah, I know you watch TikToks. I want to make sure you're okay. And if you need time, if you need to sit down at workshops, if you need anyone to talk to, if you want to talk to me or to Peace Blossom, yourself, or to anybody, you know that you can do it, right?
Okay. It's just, there's been a lot of yelling lately, so I'm not really sure who to talk to because it seems like there's a lot of fights.
Yeah, there have been a lot of fights. What do you... and I'm going to do the strong move ask that I have, which is, what does your character most want to hear from mine right now? So what does Sarah most want to hear from Robin David Ash right now?
I think she wants to hear that it's going to be safe to explore. I think she's a little afraid of the boundaries, whereas she used to feel comfortable charging all over the place.
There are hard edges at this camp, and you're an older camper now, and I think you might have grown up the past couple summers thinking that every edge was soft, because for the younger campers that's mostly true. But when feelings start getting involved, you make really close friends that maybe you have really strong feelings for.
Yeah, like Amelia.
Sure, that's sort of what I'm implicitly. Yeah.
I just wanted to make it clear.
No, I'm glad you made it explicit. That's great. I'm glad that we're talking about it openly. Those edges that were like bumpers in a bowling lane, they get a lot sharper and they can get really painful. And what I want you to know is that pain is inevitable, but that pain can't destroy you, and that getting hurt is a part of life. And you are safe to feel those feelings and to explore them too, because they're going to be scary at first, but they're feelings just like every other feeling you have, and they're worthy of understanding.
Okay, but can I run around in the woods and watch TikToks?
Oh, you meant literal exploring.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant it figuratively.
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah, for sure. The woods are great. Yeah.
Okay, that's okay.
The woods are great.
Fine in there.
The woods are categorically not great.
No, for you, the woods are great. I don't want you to be afraid of the woods. If the woods are unsafe, it's because we think they're unsafe. So it's self-fulfilling.
It's like mind over matter.
Yeah. It's like mind over matter.
Okay.
Now, I could be wrong because the world that we're in is very filled with metaphors. So it's possible that there is sort of a Jungian level in which the woods are actually unsafe, which would be one understanding of what's happening. But on a different level, the woods represent something which is just frightening, and they actually are safe if you approach them the right way.
I kind of checked out when you said metaphors because I'm not good at English class.
Gotcha, Sarah. Well, this has been good.
This kid is dying.
So let's, I think we're going to wrap it up here.
At this point, a frisbee flies in. It's Sarah on the head.
Heads up.
Heads up.
they're going to play through here. This
That's
is one
15
of the-
points for me. We might not know how to play frisbee golf, but we are having fun.
There's people to talk to, and if you're feeling strong feelings, that's okay.
Okay.
Cool.
I put down on Sarah's card here a lesson that I think she took away from here, which is pain is inevitable and the woods are safe.
Great.
So.
Great.
This is being said like I'm wrong and I'm right.
The pain happened immediately with the frisbee to the head. Yeah. So
yes, thank you. The universe has universe proven Robin provided. David Ash correct.
Yeah. Was the frisbee a metaphor?
No, that's a real frisbee. That hit you in the head. You could say that the frisbee is also a metaphor for the absurdity of life, but it also is a real frisbee that hits you in the head.
Okay, I'm going to go play with the frisbee then.
The metaphorical one or the literal one?
Yes.
Cool. So
feels like we need a lindworm.
Yeah.
I think it's about time.
You going to do it?
You going to do it? Are you inviting the lindworm?
I'm calling that lindworm.
Lindy.
Stack up my tokens.
Yeah, Jesus.
Ooh, I feel got an ace out there.
I feel that I treated a camper as an adult, which is
take a token. Yeah.
Oh, these are mostly good things.
Yeah, this look good. There's I see some hearts.
Yeah, that's there's like the ace of hearts.
Hearts are generally the gentlest thing, but we've also milled through a lot of them, so we'll see how this works out for us. Okay, so we have the Five of Hearts, which is a small kindness, a gift. Today reminds you of a dream you once had. And the Ace of Hearts, the smell after rain, dewdrops on grass, nostalgia found in the mud. Create and add a new item. And then for clubs, the Two of Clubs is jolted awake, reality melting, campers having nightmares during the day. Ooh. So now we will close our eyes and allow the lindworm to act. Okay, that was the Ace of Hearts, which is the smell after rain, dewdrops on grass, nostalgia found in the mud. Create a new item to add to the web.
I think we probably find another thing of Melanie's, right? Melody.
It's her name tag. Part of it is obscured by mud. We're not sure what it says.
Yeah.
Maybe one of us is down by the lakeshore, looking to see if there are any hints of this, you know.
Yeah, I think that Soph would definitely go down to the lake. Soph would be like, hey, Mike, can you...
Yeah, totally.
Just show me like exactly where you were.
Maybe it's like a letter home to her parents or something. Oh. And it's like you remember her writing this letter because you were with her, but something about it is different than you remember.
Also, it was never sent.
It was never sent.
Was she writing it the day that all this happened?
Yeah. It's one of those like postcards that you get pre-filled out with your parents' address at camp.
Does it start sweet and then descend into like graphic murders? Or does it have a sigil on it? Does it have like a weird sigil on it?
If it was like a postcard that she never sent, so it starts out like the letter that she wrote, but then it's been finished by someone else.
It's a postcard, and the front of the postcard is the oldest tree in the woods.
Ooh, yeah, I love that.
Like
greetings
old-timey
from camp.
And old-timey national park style painting.
Oldest tree in the woods.
Yeah.
In the background on the photograph, you can just see a few people trekking through the woods, but it's an old enough photograph that they're just a little blurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, it starts out sweet. Dear mom and dad, having a good time at camp. Like, got some poison ivy on my foot, but it's fine. Yeah, and then I think it's just...
Maybe talks about how she thinks she's not going to make it back for some reason. Or...
I think it just starts turning into one word over and over again, which is just Soph.
I like the idea of us getting something useful out of it, too. Like, that's super creepy, and I love that. But this is an object that we're adding to the web, so... maybe there's like a symbol or something that's like been scribbled on it or something that's been taped to it. Like, I don't know, but I love that Soph chanting at the end of it.
Yeah. I think in the place where a stamp would go, there's been a symbol written.
Yeah.
And we go down to the lake shore together. I'm trying to just figure out exactly where this like girl that you saw was, who definitely wasn't there, but whatever. And at the foot of the lake, it's sort of sticking out of the mud.
Right. So I use one of my regular actions is to find something old and forgotten by the other players. Soph, look at this. Look.
What is that?
It's a postcard. Maybe it's a clue. Does this look like a clue to you?
Soph peers closer. I think that's... I hate this. Okay, it's Melody's handwriting.
Yeah, you recognize that handwriting anywhere because you carved it into a tree. Both of you carved initials into a tree.
I remember her writing this on the bed. She got interrupted. We had to go do frisbee golf or something. And she didn't get to finish it, but she was going to finish it later.
Well, it's finished. It's full up here. Oh my God. Read it.
Yeah. Soph looks at it. This is just really pissing me off. I hate this. I hate this so much. We have to do something about this.
Well,
she's got to be alive, right?
I don't know how you would take that from this. It seems like
she wrote the second part of the letter.
That doesn't look like her handwriting.
Well, maybe I don't know.
Look, there's a picture of the old tree on the front. That seems to be like, I mean, you guys were closer to this than I was. What connection did Melody have to that old tree? Did she?
She would just hang out there. She said it was like her quiet spot. It was the last place. It wasn't me. Someone, a different camper saw her, Jeremiah. She was just hanging out there with a book, I think, and that was the last time anyone saw her. So I don't know.
Well, maybe we need to go back there. Maybe we need to go.
Yeah.
Excellent. So half of us have decided to chop down this tree and the other half are like going to go look for clues. There has to be a confluence of these groups.
Sure.
Like that's definitely what needs to happen.
Music for this episode of One Shot was provided by Scott Buckley under a Creative Commons Attribution International 4.0 license. The songs used for Sleepaway are Firefly, Homeward, Dragon's Lullaby, Rainbows, Jade, Legionnaire, Crusader, Cobalt, Extrapolation, and Light in Dark Places. Additional music, entitled His Last Share of the Stars, was provided by Dr. Turtle under a Creative Commons license. All sound effects provided courtesy of freesound.org, also via a Creative Commons license. The Sleepaway series was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find them and more of their work online at The Other Tracy.
Hey heroes, welcome to the mid-roll. Heroes, I gotta remind you that this week on Tuesday, we are launching the Kickstarter to Skyjack's Call of the Sky, the first album of the Skyjack soundtrack. It's full of incredible songs composed and performed by Arnie Parrott based on the world of Sphere from our campaign podcast. I have been dying to share these songs with all of you, and I am so excited that the Kickstarter is finally here because it means we're going to be able to give you all of these songs at a professional quality. If you haven't already, you can sign up to be notified as soon as the Kickstarter launches by signing up for our mailing list at bit.ly/skyjackscrew or visiting the preview page for our Kickstarter at bit.ly/callofthesky.ks. Before we get back to the episode, I want to take a quick moment and thank some of our backers on Patreon, but we are between our lists currently. There is one person who wanted to make sure that we got to their name, and that is Sailor Jupiter, who actually got a tattoo based on the campaign podcast. So thank you so much for your support, and thank you for keeping the forces of the Negaverse at bay. If you too would like to hear your name on air and support this network, you can head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and sign up to become a backer. Those folks help us make amazing series like this by paying for my flights and for editing work by people like Tracy Barnett.
So once again, head to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast to sign up and become a supporter today. And now, with all of that out of the way, let's get back to the show. As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest OneShot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.